Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening and start spreading the news. New York, New York.
Running for the Senate in New York and then serving as your senator for 8 years was one of the greatest honors of my life.
But I am very proud that I was born here in New York City.
Bernie is the only politician, honestly, that comes out with the truth. He doesn't care. He has no ties to nobody. He just keeps it completely blunt.
I like her experience and her resume, and I feel confident that she could do an amazing job running the country.
He's opposed to fracking, and he will do whatever he can. I will trust and believe.
I don't think that he is strong enough in his foreign policy.
He has a lot of lofty ideas, and he has no way to put them in action.
Like, I really doubt that Hillary Clinton would just show up in the back of a rally where there's unvetted crowds. Like, this was out of nowhere.
I like that she's going to work to continue the Affordable Care Act and hopefully expand it.
I respect Hillary. I would love to vote for a woman as president. I do not respect the decisions that she's made.
She's currently the most qualified to be running at all. I mean, it's not much competition for her.
She gives a lot of ammunition to the right.
There's that whole Bernie or bust movement, and they don't really have a reason not to like Hillary, but they like Bernie so much that they aren't just naturally against her.
Whoever wins the nomination will probably get my vote.
We've got to unite. When this primary contest is over, we've got to unite and make sure we have a Democrat in the White House in January.
Let's win in New York.
We will add to our vote total.
Let's take this fight to the White House.
We will win the nomination and then go on to the general election.
Thank you all.
Some very excited voters there, courtesy of our partner station WNYC. And the candidates are coming. The candidates are here. There's Hillary Clinton at the Apollo, Bernie Sanders in the South Bronx. Some excited voters all over the state. A Quinnipiac University poll released Thursday showed Hillary Clinton leading over Bernie Sanders 54-42% in the Empire State, where it's kind of win or go home for Bernie Sanders. Brian Lehr is host of WNYC's The Brian Lehr Show. He's been following New York politics and talking to New York voters, Republican and Democrat, for a long, long time. He's with me now in the studio. Welcome, Brian. Hello.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
You're wearing your stethoscope, which gives you exactly the sound of the pulse of New York voters, right? What's going on?
Well, let me do a little more of the geography that you hinted at of where they've been campaigning the last few days. Clinton held rallies in the city and the suburbs at the famous Apollo Theater in Harlem, like you said. High turnout among black voters helps her. And she rallied yesterday in that upscale suburb aptly named Purchase, New York, just north of the city. The 1% definitely lives there in concentrations higher than 1%. But the site for that rally was also the State University campus in Purchase. Good optics as she tries to challenge Sanders for his young base. And Sanders' first big rally here, as you noted, was at an interesting location, a park in the South Bronx, St. Mary's Park, that most upscale New Yorkers probably never heard of, no less have ever gone to that neighborhood. That was to lay down a marker for the TV cameras, I think, showing a much more diverse audience than viewers have seen before in, say, Safeco Field in Seattle, where he had that big rally last week that was televised. About a third of the Democratic primary voters in New York State are expected to be black and Latino. So the geography of where they've chosen to campaign in their first few days in New York is very telling.
Does hometown boy give Bernie Sanders any creds here?
Well, they're both hometown candidates in their ways, and they're jockeying for position for that mantle. Bernie Sanders sounds more like the New Yorker in his delivery. Hillary Clinton sounds like the Illinois girl that she grew up being, but Sanders hasn't lived here since he moved to Vermont in the 1960s. Hillary Clinton, of course, represented the state in the U.S. Senate for two terms, starting in with her election in the year 2000. So they both have different kinds of New York cred.
You've talked to voters. Is there excitement that the campaign comes to town for the first time in, more than a decade?
Yeah, there is. I think people are kind of juiced, you know, and it's hard to get people juiced in New York.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they can go out and see any kind of event on any kind of day practically. But it has been a long time since a presidential primary of any kind was meaningful here. There are real Bernie loyalists here. We certainly saw it at that rally in the Bronx last night, which overflowed the park. There are certainly Clinton loyalists here. We saw it at the Apollo Theater, where she was visibly moved by some of the audience reaction to her. And New Yorkers are political animals in many, many cases. I think there are a lot of undecided people still.
I think New York also has a history of shutting down insurgent candidacies, particularly within the Democratic Party. We noted at the top of the hour that 88 New York primary shut down Jesse Jackson's bid for the presidential. He was actually a front runner for a very brief period in 1988. In 1992, Jerry Brown looked like maybe he was an alternative to Clinton in the mainstream. And the New York primary said, no way, Jerry, see you later. You know, that would suggest that New York will tell Bernie to go bye-bye.
You think, but there's an interesting recent parallel with the election of New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. Even though he's a Clinton supporter in the primary, de Blasio himself is a Bernie Sanders-like figure in New York politics, with everything organized around fighting inequality. And he wasn't supposed to win the Democratic primary for mayor here in 2013. The heavy favorite going in was the New York City Council Speaker, Christine Quinn, who would have been the city's first woman mayor and whose reputation was very competent, very experienced leader, but someone who had cut too many deals with the business sector for political expediency, as she was seen, sound familiar, and de Blasio beat her by a lot. So New York voters can choose a Bernie-like underdog. And that Quinnipiac poll result that you cited at the top, 54% to 42%, which is a meaningful lead for Clinton, but that's closer than some might have predicted, considering her time here as a two-term U.S. senator. Very popular when she represented New York, elected and, you know, reflected by large margins greater than 12 points at that time.
Now, you aspire to be a debate moderator if you can get these two candidates together via Twitter and have a radio debate, which, first of all, let me just say, should happen. And I absolutely endorse that. What's your mission as a moderator?
We have a little Twitter campaign going, first of all. If anybody knows me as a radio host and debate moderator and wants to support this mission, tweet at Hillary Clinton, at Bernie Sanders, at Democrats, and use the hashtag radio debate. So we would love to have them do a public radio debate on all the New York State public radio stations. I'd bring in some other people from those stations, and we would talk about the issues.
Well, let's talk about an issue that I'm wondering what you think. I mean, it seems like New York would be a place where Israel has come up again and again in the GOP debates. Curiously, Hillary has a very specific stand with Israel policy in her stump speech. Bernie Sanders has, in a sense, distanced himself from Israel in his approach to the Middle East. How would you approach that as a debate moderator?
Well, I would very likely ask that as one of the questions and bring out the differences that you refer to here. I've heard both there what they both said about Israel, and they really are different on this. If Trump is the one who's gotten the reputation of being neutral on Israel, trying to walk that line between being pro-Israel and neutral so he could negotiate between the Israelis and the Palestinians, it's really Bernie Sanders who most explicitly says there's right on both sides, there's wrong on both sides. I would like to get in there and try to help them work it out. But he's more explicitly supportive of the Palestinian cause in addition to the Israeli cause than probably any candidate in the race.
How has Trump's presence on the GOP side changed the New York primary for the Democrats and really made the GOP Republican primary interesting?
Well, he gives them all an easy target. Clinton says that Sanders didn't respond forcefully enough to Trump's abortion snafu the other day. You certainly can find Sanders' comments where he did. Maybe his first one was to try to write it off as a distraction from the real issues, which he says a lot about a lot of these you know, Trump media storms.
You're sympathetic with. I mean, you're sympathetic with that idea of like stop paying attention to the noise. Look at the signal.
Totally. And if I get to interview the Republican candidates as they come through, I'm going to try to get away from the noise and pin some of them down on their positions. But, you know, the Republican primary candidates are arriving here too. John Kasich is the first one in the pool. He did a town hall in Queens and held a couple of news conferences in the city and more. The new Quinnipiac poll has Trump winning big in New York, 56% to about 20% each for Cruz and Kasich. But that poll was taken before Trump's troubles with fumbling the abortion question on MSNBC and his campaign manager getting criminally charged for alleged misdemeanor battery of a female journalist. And Ted Cruz breaking out to a lead now in Wisconsin. Trump is having probably the toughest media week of his campaign, and we'll see if he's at a turning point. But, you know, much of the Republican vote is in upstate New York, which is economically depressed in some places in the way of some hollowed-out industrial Midwest kinds of towns. And that's Trump country. You think of New York as having sophisticated, moderate Republicans like Nelson Rockefeller and George Pataki. But the Republican primary winner for governor here in 2010 was a businessman from the Buffalo area named Carl Palladino,
right,
who's very rough and tumble, kind of like, think downscale Donald Trump. So don't assume John Kasich can just walk in here because he sounds moderate.
Well, Brian Lehr, as I can hear just from the analysis you've given us already, that you should definitely moderate a debate if we can get these candidates together. What's the Twitter handle?
At Democrats, at Hillary Clinton, at Bernie Sanders, so they see it. And the hashtag is Radio Debate.
Brian Lehr, host of The Brian Lehr Show on WNYC. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, John.